Aloha, everyone. This is Amanda. Natalia, are you there?
Aloha, Amanda. Yes, I am. How are you?
Yay. Good. Good. Do you want to get started?
I do. I just had a funny thought.
What is it?
It just came to me. We're talking about teeth today, and I just thought that you and I are both, we've been uprooted and are being rerooted.
Completely.
It's a real knee slapper, isn't it? Sorry,
oh my
everyone.
Gosh, so funny.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, the talk is referring to the fact that both of us are moving, or I have, well, yeah, I'm moving like 3 times in 2 weeks, and she's moving to a new place. So, yeah, I'm island hopping, and you're also kind of island hopping.
I'm block hopping.
You're block hopping. There you go. Yeah, we just felt like we needed to mix it up, right? Just create a little more excitement.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just a couple of steps away or if it's a couple of islands away, it's it changes the energy, you know, anyway. So,
oh, dramatically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm,
well,
yeah.
I'm also reminded at how much transition, no matter what. I mean, moving is like kind of the ultimate transition. Well, not the ultimate, but it's a big transition. I'm just remembering how uncomfortable it can feel and kind of how you can feel disheveled and how that's just such a great reminder for when we're going through our personal transformations, that there's those moments of discomfort and feelings of dishevelment, but that's just part of the process. But eventually
yeah.
You land and you get your roots and you feel whole and usually much better for the whole process.
And how are the kids responding to this move?
Oh my gosh. They're in heaven. I'm telling you, this is scripted. They scripted us going to the Big Island. That's where exactly where Sophia wanted to be born, exactly the antidote that Jason and I needed in order to shift our lives. And then they both knew that they would probably end up growing up on Maui. I know it. I mean, they're thriving. They're in the ocean every single day. We're at the beach. They're very, very, very happy little children right now.
So,
and we call the house we're moving into, we're calling it Butterfly House because there's butterflies flying everywhere. And so I said to Madeline the other day, we were talking about food and all the packaging on our food, which I'd love to bring up on this call. But I was throwing something away, and she said, well, where are you throwing it? And I said, in the garbage. She goes, well, where did it go? It's like, well, you know, that's kind of the problem. You know, eventually it goes to landfills, and, you know, a lot of our garbage is out in the ocean. And so I said, you know, one of the things I'd love to do at Butterfly House is start growing a lot more of our own food. And she goes, why don't we grow all of it? Like, yeah, why don't we grow all of it?
Oh, my God.
Like, amazing. This is so amazing. And, yes, Madeline, you're probably going to be teaching me how to do that.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They must be so powerful because I would have loved my parents to move to Maui. But my script wasn't strong enough somehow. They're like coming in with exactly what their directives are, and you just like, you hold on for the ride.
We needed the other experience. I know we did. We needed it for whatever reason. And now they're, I mean, I think they're coming in, the children coming in today they're playing a different role than we are. You know, they're not going to come in with as much baggage to clear and clean and do all, I don't think, you know, at least with the ones that are coming in that parents are listening, like all these parents on this call right now, you have all the parents that are listening to their children and listening to their inner voice so they know what the script is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So teeth.
Yeah, we had this question come in. I'm so happy that someone wrote about this because to my memory, I don't recall us talking about teeth in detail, and I feel like it's such a wonderful opportunity to do it now. It's like a little universe in and of itself, but it's a hologram like everything else is in the body, which can, the more we understand the function of tooth care and what causes cavities and how we can rectify and remineralize our teeth, the more we can understand how we do that through the body at large. So even though we're talking about teeth in this, there's wisdom to put into all aspects, all parts of the body. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of, you know, I hope there's a lot of enlightening information that we can share. Should we read the question, or should we just tackle teeth at large? And do you want to talk about anything else before we get into it?
Well, I have a lot of things I want to talk about it. I actually have a story of my own journey with my teeth, which is probably people could resonate with. I'm looking for the actual question, Natalia.
Okay, I can pull it up too. I'll find it. I'll get it in just a second. Okay. But go ahead and tell your story while I get it.
Well, okay, I'm still sort of in the middle of the story. That's why I'm really excited to hear what you have to say as well. But basically, you know, I had this frame of mind that was like, well, if I'm eating so well and totally taking care of my body, and my bones are just my teeth are just like another part of that microcosm, then why do they need specific, special, different care? Kind of like, why, like, it felt like programming that you go to the dentist twice a year and you get your teeth checked, and then they put this stuff on it and they clean it. And it felt like a program that I wanted to question. So I didn't go to the dentist for a while. And well, I have a unique situation because I have baby teeth that fell out and adult teeth never grew in. So there's just like...
Really?
It's a total like genetic anomaly in my bottom molars. You can't see it, so it's not a big deal, but they want me to put metal posts in there, and they want me to, because as there's two holes, so the rest of my teeth are shifting. So, and you can see on Fairly Once a Year, I'm noticing like at the bottom, there's a gap now in the bottom, my bottom teeth, which was never there before. And so I'm like, uh-oh, you know, I feel like something's, you know, happening, and I probably need to take care of this, but it feels weird to put metal in my mouth too. I feel confused, bottom line. So, but what happened was I realized that I was actually avoiding the issue. I wasn't consciously researching and exploring my options or anything like that. I was actually avoiding. And what I wanted to just say is that whenever we avoid things, that's actually another reaction to something. So it's actually not like it's not a conscious reaction. It's not a conscious response to avoid something. So, and I was afraid at what I was going to find out. I was afraid that, you know, there's, you know, horrible problems and I need to do something. So I ended up going to the dentist, and there, I definitely need to do something, but I'm still like, okay, I've heard about some guy in Tijuana who puts crystal in mouths. You know, there's things I need to do. So I'm totally curious to hear what options are. I know that there's creative, innovative people that are offering new kinds of things that actually could probably be beneficial to have in our mouths. So I'd love to hear what you found, because I know that you do a lot with this.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we should just do, I mean, I'm happy to approach this as a big download, because I think there's just so much information, and even in an hour, so little time. We need to kind of take this apart, because there's things that are specific to women, and there's things that are specific, or I should say specific to mothers who've had one, two, three more children, and there are things that are specific to children. So I think we need to start with just the concept of, like, you know, what is a cavity? And the cavity comes from the word cari, which is actually means to rot. And basically what happens is the mineral content of the tooth dissolves to this certain extent. And so it's 'cause combination of mineral dissolution and what happens when there's mineral dissolution, when anything is that's living is compromised, it goes into the decay cycle, so that thus the rotting term. Okay, so enamel covers the tooth, and inside the enamel we have the dentin, and inside that there's, you know, there's nerve fibers running through the teeth. But the enamel on the outside is 95% mineral, so that's why it's really hard. The dentin inside is softer, and that's only about 2/3 mineral content. The mineral, it's a funny word. Let me see if I can even say what the word is. It's hydroapatite. Hydroxyapatite, hydroxyapatite. You try and say that. And that's the mineral that we're talking about when we talk about the minerals in teeth, and this is a mineral that's really rich in calcium. So you know, tooth decay is a demineralization, essentially. So the demineralization comes from a combination of it starts with this with acidity on the teeth, okay, and that can come from food, and it can come as a byproduct of bacteria. So when we talk about the cause of tooth decay, it's bacteria and acidity. And again, you think about how does the acidity get there? Well, the acidity gets there because we're eating acidic things, and because the bacteria itself, which is acidic, also has acidic byproducts. Okay, so that's the onslaught of the acidity, and then there's this what we consume then continues to feed the bacteria because sugars feed bacteria. Anything that's acidic is going to feed and strengthen the bacteria. Now, on the plus side, we have saliva, which is naturally alkaline. So it's full of these minerals. They're meant to buffer the acidity. So, you know, we can use the saliva to our benefit as we're, you know, trying to heal our teeth. But in most cases, what you have are the plaque actually enables the sugars and acidic byproducts to get stuck deep in the teeth, making it really hard for the saliva to get there in time. It takes about 2 hours for saliva to get to the acidity that's been hidden up in, been under and around the plaque. Okay, so that's sort of the basics of how it all happens. And so, in a nutshell, plaque plus sugars plus bacteria equal cavities/demineralization. If you want to think of it that way. So the rate of the destruction though exceeds the rate of the repair where the saliva is concerned. So we need to fix that first and foremost. We need to ensure that that we're not consuming acidic foods, that the foods that there's not as overgrowth of plaque where things can hide, and we need to make sure that that we're not, you know, feeding this bacteria with, you know,
Natalia,
sugars and things.
Mm-hmm. Natalia, I don't want to derail you, but I have a question. Is it kind of also like so the would the mouth be almost another place where we eliminate, because
we
eat out toxins? So would it be similar to the colon where we actually have to do something proactive to clear out the space, even if we're perfect with our diet? There's still accumulation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're getting me really excited.
Okay,
exactly. Yes, a million yeses. Like, I'm just going crazy here, because what I would like to say to people is this is why we need to clean the colon, because we clean the teeth. We do colon cleansing on the teeth. We do teeth cleansing. We need to brush our colon like we a toothbrush on our colon. Now, here's where it gets really exciting. And this is where, if anyone's read Weston Price, are you familiar with Weston Price, Amanda, a little bit?
No.
Okay. Well, he was one of the foremost teachers explaining how nutrition affects our teeth and how nutrition can rectify our teeth. But this is back, I think he wrote his books in the 50s. So this is when things were not what they are today. Now, so this is where it becomes really interesting, because nutrition alone isn't going to fix this. Because we've gotten to a point where it's not enough. So, hang on for the ride for a second, because I want to take you into your colon, and I want everyone to imagine the little tiny holes that are in the teeth. They're little channels that run through the teeth, and they inform the body, and the body informs the teeth, because everything is a communication network. So if there's decay and old matter and acidity inside the body, it's going to get into the teeth just as likely as it is if you eat something that's acidic and allow your teeth to rot from the outside. You see the importance of that? This is why people who get into raw foods and don't colon cleanse wind up with abscesses in their teeth and teeth falling out and agonizing teeth pain. This is
is
not unusual in the raw food world. But we know that if we keep our colon clean as we awaken waste, we're not going to have that problem. That's why I've never had a single problem with my teeth. I haven't been to the dentist in I don't know how long. The last time I went to the dentist, I felt so irritated, and it felt so intuitively wrong to me what they were doing in my mouth. But I just said, because they were just doing a cleaning. I haven't had a cavity in 12 years, maybe longer. But I did. I had plenty of cavities before I got into cleansing. So, but when they were in there with their metal pick, and I was like, stop that. That's not right. You can't, don't do that. My teeth don't like that. They're bone. They're sensitive. They're like, don't do that. And then they wanted to do a fluoride treatment, and I'm like, well, you can't do that either. They're like, well, what are you here for? I said, well, I don't know, so I guess I'll go home.
I'm here because I'm supposed to be here.
Exactly.
When you did have cavities, did you get them filled, and have you taken those filling out?
I have one mercury filling that I probably should have removed, and I think the essence is the kind of like the I think there is a release of the mercury fillings. I think that it's probably one of the most damaging things that can be in the body, because again, the mouth is such a huge informant. I mean, it's incredible. In fact, if there's a quote I can find, I want to find it. There's a wonderful book by Tonya Zavasta. Some of you listening may be familiar with her. She's kind of a raw food guru in her mid to late 50s. She's a wonderful, beautiful woman. I think she's fantastic. And her book is called The Raw Food Diet and Your Compromised Teeth. Great all-inclusive snapshot book. It's an e-book. I think she has it as both an e-book and a regular book. And she gets into everything. And she actually talks, I think she talks in her book about metal rods that she had. And she had some issues that some people might find that they share. But
can cavities self-repair? Parts of our body?
They can definitely regenerate, yes. The thing is, we can't kid ourselves and think we're doing things that will enable it to self-repair when we're not. There's a quote I want to find it so badly here because it says exactly what I want to say about mercury fillings, but I'll let you know when I find it. Okay, so but basically, we have when it comes to how to repair all of this. One thing I want to mention with moms, just before I forget the point, is that when we have kids take all of our essence, they take all of our power, all the minerals, all everything they can get, they just leech from us. So it's different when we try to fix our teeth after having children. It takes a lot of extra effort. And it makes what we do in terms of alkalinity so much more important during pregnancy. So it's even though sometimes it feels kind of hard in the first trimester, especially to have your greens and stuff, it's a time to make sure you're not compromising where that's concerned, where your alkalinity is concerned, and it happens to be the time in our culture where most women are, just throwing diet, they eat whatever they want. And, it's the one time when you really shouldn't, because it's not about, because we're so like diet, but we're so shape focused, so weight focused in our culture that we think, oh, we can finally be free and like eat what we want because we're pregnant anyway. And we got to wear a big muumuu anyway, or like whatever it is. But in fact, if we were a culture that was aligned with natural law, we wouldn't be so fat phobic. We would be so health generating and life generating that we would know that if we want to protect ourselves in the long term, if we want to have this 80, 90 year old self that's just stellar, we're going to make it an extra point during pregnancy and nursing, and both equally important to alkalinize, because when we're nursing, of course, we're having to produce so much, and people think only in terms of calories. So they think, okay, well, I'm burning this many calories nursing, so I get to eat all this. No, the body's taking the vital essences from the mother that that's the alkalinity to pull into the breast milk for the baby. It's not going to give the baby the rubbish. It's going to get the best it can out of the mother, and then if the mother only has rubbish to give after that, it's going to take that too. But it's going to take your best for the baby, because that's what it's all about. So that's when you have to give yourself two times the best, not two times the calories, two times the best. So, that's why it's so important that time. So that's mothers. So if women are having issues after babies, that's why. If you want to prevent having issues with babies, if you're going to have more kids and you've already had a couple kids, keep this in mind. So where kids are concerned, it's a different game. We start out, we get our teeth from our mother and our father, but the baby's teeth, the destiny of the baby's teeth is formed before the baby even is, a twinkle in the eye. It's in the cellular biology of the parents. So, and mostly of the mother. So, one of the things you'll find, I think it's Weston Price's book. I'm sorry, there's sirens blaring outside. Don't you wish you were in Maui? Oh, wait, you are in Maui. there's these wonderful pictures that Weston Price has in his book of these children in indigenous cultures, they have these big, beautiful, pearly white teeth, and they are perfectly in line, and they are bright and shining. And these kids are biting in. I believe I've got my facts right. One picture is of a kid biting into sugar cane to prove that sugar doesn't cause cavities. Bacteria and acidity causes cavities. Of course, sugar feeds the bacteria. So once you get on into the snowball, it becomes, you know, sugar is no good. But if you're alkaline and you're living on all this raw stuff and breathing this fresh, beautiful air, you can dig your teeth into raw sugar cane and, you know, and not have to brush your teeth afterward necessarily. So, but the most important thing I want to point out is these kids had perfectly aligned teeth. So with my kids, it's interesting because the quality of their teeth is excellent. Of course, you know, they can get lazy with brushing and they've had cavities because they've, you know, the dental hygiene. I mean, they're 10 and 12 now and you can't be on top of them every second. And they're going to be doing things now. And they, as I've, you know, mentioned other, you know, these kind of things that, you know, I let them do what they want now and they have to be free to be their own people. So they can create tooth decay now. Oh, my Lord. I'm sorry, guys.
Let me just for a sec. Sorry, Natalia, I muted you. I just read somewhere how that sound actually is totally acidic, and they created it to be acidic, to put more fear in us, which it certainly does. So, Natalia, you're muted for just a sec. We'll get you back on. I don't want to put acidic sounds in everyone's ears.
In front of my building, but they turned the sirens off.
Okay, good. Yay. There you are.
Oh, wait, they're coming into the building. No. Oh, no, the house is on fire. No, just kidding. Okay, so wait, back to teeth. Just before I burn down, I want to give you this last bit of information.
Yes. Her last words.
Okay, So kids, right? So the mother can do all she can in terms of strengthening herself so that her kids, the kids in her womb and before the womb, will have beautiful teeth. But because of our lineage, the structure of the teeth and their placement in the jaw, you know, on the rows can be really upset, and that's the cacophony. You know, we talk about harmony. So these indigenous kids have all this harmony in their DNA. So their genetics are all lined up. So their teeth are going to come in. They're not going to need the dentist. You know, you wonder, well, what would have happened 500 years ago or even 100 years ago? You know, you'd have the whole door trick thing, you know, where you have the tooth pulled out. And, like, so many kids have to have teeth removed now because the teeth are coming in so crookedly and there's not enough space. And then, of course, there's the braces and the retainers and the palate expanders. You know, but this wouldn't have been the case in indigenous life. It still would have been the case in Shakespearean days, though. I mean, you know, the times of the Black Plague, all of that was caused because we were so far away from nature, but also so far away from medical science that we have today. So you had the combination of all this, the unsanitary conditions without the antibiotics. Now, we shouldn't have need for either medical antibiotics or unsanitary conditions. You know, we should have cleanliness and natural antibiotics. You know, literally, like the ones that are found in nature, but in a perfect world. But so the issues of this, so there's two issues at play here. You see, there's the quality of the teeth, and then there's the alignment of the teeth in the jaw, and that's something that the more compromised the lineage, the more of a cacophony is literally in the DNA is interfering with the communication and has despiraled the DNA, causes this misalignment in the mouth. So the kids who eat really well may still have to have braces, you know, and then, of course, you've got all the metal in the mouth again. It's a very difficult thing to do. Let's take any questions that come through now if you want to take a little break.
Whoa. Okay, wait. Yeah. You have me on the freaking edge of my seat, Natalia Rose. So now I know about mothers needing to do more, and I know about all of our children's basically very compromised DNA at this point. And so what do we actually do? I mean, I know, like, to brush my teeth and floss, but, like, okay, what do I actually do? In addition to all the diet and the colonics and everything that we're already doing, there's got to be more, because there's still things happening with the teeth. So what else?
Right. Well, okay, yeah. So there's a few things. When it comes to the kids, we have to take into consideration the seven generations. We hear about seven generations. So it may take seven generations of being back in alignment with nature for us to start, for our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren to be born with teeth that don't need braces, that don't, I mean, you know, that are perfect even without any intervention, let me put it that way. That are these indigenous teeth. So there's that. So there's let's get back to nature and, like, right, a lot of patience. And then for us, and, you know, when if we really want to have beautiful teeth that don't need all this stuff, we need to get really, really honest. And, you know, it means upgrading the diet even further, making sure that we're not overeating on things we shouldn't be, making sure that we're not having any too much acidity. You know, even the fermented products, the namashoyus and the misos and stuff, these are all fermented and they're still acidic. Where are we abusing goat cheese and chocolate and wine and grain and, you know, and it may be worthwhile taking a break from stevia now and then too. I know it sounds like whoa. I mean, I've taken a little break from the liquid stevia and I'm doing the green powdered stevia right now that I can get on Amazon. It's just totally, totally pure. But I'm even using just the tiniest bit of that because, you know, again, hypothetically, and it's not supposed to feed yeast or sugars, but it is sweet. So, you know, it kind of makes you wonder a little bit. So there are times when we just really want to take a break and do a more what I would call an extremely green kind of approach, which is something I'm leading people through in July, you know, how to do that, how to take the next step. Because when this is not to, you know, to plug that at all, and everyone individually can do this in their own way just by reflecting on what they're taking in. We're going to, you know, do it in a really big way in July. But basically, it's a matter of, like I said, being really, really honest and saying, well, where is there possibly too much acidity? Where am I feeding sugars where I shouldn't be? Is my blood really clean? Because if my blood is full of bacteria, that's going to inform my teeth. You know, I can't just pretend to do this. We can get away with so much when we even do this lifestyle, like 75%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, say, like, if you live Detox for Women for, you know, the rest of your life, you're going to get away with so much more than, you know, everyone else will. But we don't stop there. We don't rest on our laurels and say, okay, well, you know, look, I've gotten into a size whatever gene and I'm this much on the scale and it's so much better than I would be otherwise, so I'm just going to cruise here. If you cruise there, you're still probably going to wind up getting the things that we allow are still going to create subtle addictions. You know, if you see yourself consuming too much of that acidic stuff and for that foregoing the dark green salads and the sunflower sprouts and the alfalfa sprouts and the wheatgrass juice and you know, you start focusing on the things that are the fun stuff and not making the pure stuff fun, which is the way I prefer to look at it. It's not that it's not fun, it needs to be made fun, then you're going to wind up with the same tooth problems that everyone else will have. It's kind of like, you know what I said, the first thing you see in the body that gets acidic is UTIs, is bladder infections, because the kidneys are the first buffer. Well, if you start seeing things happening in your teeth, it's a communication. Remember, pain and pleasure are two communication devices in the body, or two communication terms of the body, you know what I'm trying to say. So if we see pain, we can't, like you said earlier, the things we ignore, the things we need to pay attention to, well, if there's something going on with your teeth, it's time to take a look at everything. And it's not, you don't throw all this out and say, oh, well, you know, I can't do what I was doing. You say, okay, this was right in my knowledge base. Now, how can I upgrade it even further and go in an even more life-generating direction? Because that's what life is telling me to do. Whether I like it or not, that's what life is telling me to do. And if I ignore life, I'm opposing nature. And opposing nature is the number one thing you never, ever do. That is the number one rule of the universe, is thou shalt not oppose nature.
Well, and the good news is that it's only the ego that doesn't want you to do it. And once you do it, it's always way better. So,
exactly.
You know, okay, so I have a question. if you were any one of us on the call and you found out that you do have cavities, what would you do? Would you just upgrade the diet and not do any intervention or one of your children? And would you have it filled?
Yeah.
Or would you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. It depends on the kid and the stage of the kid and the age of the kid. If it were me, I would do, you know, there's certain things I've put into place in recent history that are going to prevent this sort of thing from ever happening too, and this is exactly what I would do. So if it were me, I'd do some of the things I'm already doing now, which is daily wheatgrass. Well, I should say daily. I should say 5 days a week wheatgrass. You never want to do wheatgrass every single day. So and when you take the wheatgrass, what you do is you want to hold it in your mouth for a while and just, like, swish it around a bit, which always gives me like a really funny look for my husband, who's like rolling his eyes at me when I'm doing things. Like, one more thing. Oh my Lord. Like, what is she going to do next? But, he's like, you don't gargle with the stuff. No, but you swish it. So hold the wheatgrass in your mouth as long as you can, because it's going to inform your teeth and inform, it's going to go through those little channels in your teeth too. And you want it to get there. And it's super, super alkaline. So everything that's really, really alkaline, you want to bring to the party. So the wheatgrass is number one. And the second thing I would use is bentonite. And if you've ever read much about bentonite, you'll know that it's used as a poultice on any kind of a wound. It's super, super healing. It makes sure that there's no bacteria or kind of pathogenic things can get into the wound. So it's, you know, it's been used, gosh, in indigenous cultures forever. It's earth, so, you know, clay mud baths, but it's the purest form of earth. And I would actually coat my teeth. This is something I don't do now. This is something I would do. I would coat my teeth in bentonite before bed. You know, paint it onto my teeth and, you know, just kind of let it sit there while I sleep.
Paint it on, like, with a brush or something?
With a brush, or if you can, like, with a, you know, with your finger, just kind of, like, you know, glop it on there, and it may feel
a
bit funny.
And so we can give it to our kids, too?
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure you can. It's fine to swallow it, too. You got to find a way. You know, if the kids, you know, they might just you got to tell them, like, just let it sit, you know, because they're going to have to close their mouth and their teeth around it.
My girls call it, we call it mud. I don't know why it's more fun. And but this is probably a no-no.
Right.
Stevia in it for my daughter because she loves it with stevia. But it might not be as effective that way.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, see if she can do, like, the extreme bentonite, extreme mud.
Uh-huh. All right.
Mega mud.
Okay.
And then, you know, it was funny because I was working with somebody to help them remineralize their teeth using the combination of those two things. And when I discovered on Tonya Zavasa's site that she actually has an oral balm that's that very thing, I was floored. She has a bentonite oral balm, and it's bentonite and wheatgrass and a bunch of fantastic herbs, and it's wonderful. So you could actually brush with that. So if you go to what's her site now? It's Beautiful on Raw. Beautiful on Raw.
Beautiful on Raw. Okay.
And she's amazing. And it's called Your Right to Be Beautiful, Bentonite Oral Balm. So I thought that was really cool. I'm like, you can use this. And I got it for myself, and I love it. It makes my mouth feel amazing.
Do you still use the hydrogen peroxide mouthwash?
You know, I went through a phase of that. I think, you know, everything is phases, but that's wonderful too because it's going to kill bacteria. So anything that's going to kill bacteria and remineralize is fantastic.
Okay.
And you want to do that within and without. So inside the body, you want to kill bacteria and remineralize, and on the teeth directly. And then you have then both systems are in agreement. The teeth are agreeing with the internal systems and the blood, and everybody's doing the job done together.
Okay. This is super reassuring, I'd have to say, because it can be a little daunting it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of information. It's either like, you go to the dentist or you don't. And then if you don't, it's sort of like you're flailing out there without a lot of answers. What about, so people with fillings, would you would recommend those to be removed? And then to apply some sort of remineralization approach like we're talking about?
Well, you know, in that case, I would work with a holistic dentist and see what the, I mean, I would say what a holistic dentist would probably do is remove the mercury filling, and some of them do it better than others, and some of them are super protective. They have things, they cover parts of the throat and the nose and everything, just make sure that any of the vapors from the mercury aren't inhaled. I mean, you got to find a holistic dentist that really specializes in removing mercury fillings, and then my guess is they'll probably fill it with a composite.
Okay.
But you know, dentistry isn't my specialty. I have there's a limit to what I know about it, but the things you know that I am sharing, I think, will be extremely helpful. But I think there's a point at which you're going to want a holistic dentist to give you more.
Okay, fabulous. All right, I want to invite anyone to ask questions or comments, or it can be on this topic or any other topic. So go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. We also can see any questions that you type in on the dashboard, which you can access through your the email that was sent to you. And we do have someone with their hand raised. Okay. Erica, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I was wondering if you could talk to oil pulling. I know that a lot of people have been doing that for years in the Ayurvedic tradition with like sesame oil, and now people are using coconut oil for its kind of more antibacterial effects, coupled with like a drop of oregano oil and tongue scraping. I was wondering what you thought about that too.
Great questions. Okay, so oil pulling is great, is wonderful. I mean, do it, definitely do it. I did it as an experiment, just kind of see what it was all about a few years ago, and I did it like every day for 15 minutes or, you know, twice a day, and, you know, because I don't have any teeth problems, I don't know if it did any good or not, but everybody who does it and has had teeth problems has had great results that I know of that, you know, I've spoken to. And I would use coconut oil. I wouldn't use, I mean, you could use cold pressed sesame oil, but I just feel it's so much, coconut oil to me, if it's cold pressed, extra virgin, organic, it's really pristine. And that's what I would stick with. And I think the idea of putting the oregano oil in it is wonderful. So that's great. And then daily tongue brushing, tongue scraping is absolutely without a doubt has to be in there. I mean, it's, first of all, when you start this tongue scraping, you really can't go back because your mouth just will never feel fresh to you. So much, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but a huge percentage of bacteria that's in our mouth is on our tongue and the roof of the mouth too. I mean, I think it's go to town on the roof, go, you know, get into everything. And definitely great points. Thank you.
And I have one more question. This is not for myself because I didn't run into this problem, but I've had other mothers be discouraged by their dentist to stop breastfeeding because of the damage to their children's teeth from, like, going to sleep nursing.
Okay, well, a couple things about that. So such a big topic now. Okay, let me try. I'm glad you brought up breastfeeding because there's something I want to get in there first about that, and that is that when moms are breastfeeding, there's a point that you're going to know when to wean, because there's, for a certain amount of time, you're going to be able to generate a lot of good for your baby. Now remember, you've just had, if we're talking about postpartum, in, you know, ancient Chinese culture and most indigenous cultures, after a woman's had a baby, she's catered to for several weeks, if not several months. She just stays put and they take care of her because there is an understanding that her body's just been through so much and has been so depleted in growing this new organism, this new baby, that that she needs to repair if she's going to be strong enough to walk the long haul in life. Not the next 5, 10, 15 years, but the long haul with everything that she came into the world with and has grown into. We become an adult and we should hold that great adult energy, which is very, very high energy, which is not, which is superior to a child energy and adult energy. But we don't think of it that way. We always think that the younger the better. If she's going to have that energy moving forward, she needs to have that time to recover with after each child. With nursing, if we're going straight from that without having that time in between into nursing, we're going to deplete ourselves even further. And I mean, I'll say, you know, speak for myself that, you know, there was nothing like that. I mean, I've had a wonderful support team, but, you know, I wasn't just kind of like, you know, reclaiming my energy and anything.
That's one of the things we all need to work on in supporting each other. I think that's part of, you know, being a Life Force family, also being know, life force mothers for each other is to start caring for each other postpartum. But it's a whole other topic. So true.
So then we go straight into nursing, and we get depleted even further. This is why, even though it's possible that it may be good for various reasons, it may have been natural in indigenous cultures for babies to nurse more than a year, it may not be good for modern women to nurse for much more than a year because of the compounding drain on the mother to produce this milk. So there's another big hormonal despiraling that happens when a woman is nursing beyond her strength zone. But that's, I don't want to get into that right now, but I do want to say that this is this is why the baby may not, this is all up to you. I mean, every mother is intuitive. You know how long your baby should nurse. But somewhere between 9 months and 15 months, a mother's really getting tapped out. And it may be that she starts despiraling at that point. So when you feel that starts to happen, or if you notice that your teeth are getting a little demineralized, you can see it. I mean, you can actually, if you look at your teeth, you can tell there's a difference. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you know you look great, and you had a great night's sleep, and you wake up another morning, and maybe you've like been out with friends, and you had a couple of glasses of wine, and you know, there's a distinct difference. Same thing with the teeth. You can look at your teeth one day, and they can be really, really strong and look strong. And you can look at them another day, and they look almost translucent. So that's how you'll know if they're trying to communicate with you. So so that's one reason not to nurse overnight for too long. And then the other thing
Natalia, mm-hmm. Natalia,
yeah?
There's a big difference between what you just said. You said nurse overnight, but what about just nursing? Because like for example,
Nursing in general. Yeah. Well, when he talks about falling asleep on the boob and stuff. Yeah, nursing in general. I mean nursing in general, but I mean this kind of like when they're falling asleep, they've nursed, maybe they're getting up in the middle of the night, going back to sleep, and they're not brushing their teeth, they're just nursing and getting all this breast milk, because breast milk is very sweet. Now, here's the other thing. If the breast milk is not alkaline, which is happening with a lot of mothers today, because even if they're eating a really great, high-quality diet according to the world standards, if they're yeasty, if the yeast is feeding an acidity that all the good alkalinity in their diet can't even catch up with, then their breast milk is still going to be slightly acidic. So the baby's going to have this not alkaline breast milk, which would never ruin their teeth, but this acidic breast milk, which could mess up with their teeth. You see the difference? And that could be and because breast milk is sweet, you've got the acidity with the sweet factor, then you could have a problem. Yes, absolutely. So that would be an indication not to it would be an indication to start the weaning process.
No. Wait, but Natalia, wouldn't the prescription then be to upgrade the diet, not to stop breastfeeding? Because how many months and all that. But I mean, to say, well, it's acidic, so stop breastfeeding. It's like, well, I mean, stop eating all the acidic stuff.
No, well, what I'm saying is, yes and no. Yeah, I completely agree with you. There's two factors to this. One is that you wouldn't want them to be going to sleep on acidic breast milk, and it could take a while to catch up with that. So when I say start the weaning process, I mean that it would be, if you're nursing, I mean, when we nurse on demand, we're nursing a lot. I mean, we're nursing like 20 times a day. Who knows? You know, it could be anything from 10 to 20 times a day. So to wean it down so the baby's not getting so much of that acidity and isn't going to sleep with it, and maybe putting them to sleep with something you know is alkaline, like maybe an organic banana spinach smoothie or a spinach carrot juice or something that you know is going to be alkaline. And then maybe, you know, if dentists are saying that they're seeing that something's happening, you could give them a little swish with, you know, you could rub some of this oral balm on their teeth and have them, you know, swish it around and spit it out before they go to sleep just to make sure that their teeth are pristine before bed. That could be a good move. But no, I don't mean that you need to wean entirely. I just mean that you want to wean it down a bit so they're not getting this so often. We know wean can mean so many different things. But I'm so glad you clarified that. And then in the process, as you said, yes, it's time to really get serious about the alkalinity. And you're going to want to do it because you're going to know that if you don't do it, you're going to start to get really depleted because remember that your teeth are bone. So if your teeth are going through this, you know your bones are. And, you know, you don't want to start becoming osteopenic.
Yeah. Okay. Erica, wait. Okay, we answered her question fully, I think. Right, Erica?
Yeah, thank you. And that makes sense. The families that I've noticed that have gone through that challenge were the ones that nursed kind of a little bit longer, like 2.5, 3 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'd refer to their children as kind of booby monsters. So that probably could be a correlation.
Booby monster. Man, do I know what that is. That's like...
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
and I wanted to share really quick... I wanted to share really quick a segment of this book that I'm reading called Kiss Your Dentist Goodbye by Ellie Phillips, DDS. And mm-hmm. she's worked as both a pediatric dentist and a geriatric dentist in this country and in the UK. So she has a pretty unique perspective, which actually is very congruent with this lifestyle and this diet. She talks about how the way that you alkalinize the body is the same way that you would alkalinize your mouth. But the one thing that she does point out that would maybe be contradictory is lemons. And they alkalinize the body, but she's saying that you have to get them off your teeth right away because those do demineralize your teeth.
You know, I think that's an excellent point, and that resonates. That's absolutely true. The lemon outside the body is going to be acidic, and inside is alkaline. And if it's on your teeth, it's still outside the body in a way. And I think it's really an important thing to make sure that we're cleaning the lemon off our teeth immediately. It's a good point.
And one other thing that she does point out is the connection between ear infections in children and their mouths. So oftentimes, mm-hmm. The ear infections are actually coming from bacteria in their mouth cavities.
Wow.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and I've had some ear infection problems, and it ended up turning out to be bacteria that had lodged in my wisdom teeth, and I kind of thought getting the wisdom teeth out as a teenager was a program, so, you know, I thought, okay, they're natural, I'm going to let them grow in, but because of the lineage and the things that you talked about that Weston Price mentioned, how our mouth shape and jaws have gotten smaller due to the sugar and the grains, that my wisdom teeth kind of impacted into my jaw, and the gum came over the tooth, so bacteria was able to get in there, and that was the cause of my ear infection too. So I ended up having to get them out. But yeah, that's another thing I had a question about too, is do you agree that we should just kind of standard practice have our teenagers get their wisdom teeth out before letting them grow in?
You know, I waited, so I didn't want to have mine removed when I was a teenager, and I had them removed when I was like 25, 26. I don't know. I think that really, again, I think a holistic dentist would answer that better. I always kind of felt like if it was in the body, it kind of belonged there, but eventually, you know, the mouth gets a bit, if the crowding isn't good, and we know that if there's not freedom of flow and there's obstruction and everything that's happening in the body today isn't necessarily as it was meant to happen because of all the changes we've made in opposition to nature, it could be true. It could be warranted. So I would speak to a holistic dentist about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you,
Erica. Everything you shared was wonderful. Those were such good points. Yeah. I wanted to get into all them, and you just brought them right in, so I would have probably forgotten. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Erica.
Hi.
We also have a question that came in via email, and we have another hand raised, so hopefully we can get to both. Okay, so everyone is doing whitening these days. Do you have a point of view on the safety or harmfulness of teeth whitening?
I would never whiten my teeth. You know, as much as I'm, you know, stand out for having normal teeth today. Like you look odd if you're not, if you don't have your teeth whitened today, especially if you're like in photographs and on TV and stuff. I also think there's going to be a total backlash on that. I think they're going to discover how it ruins the teeth, and it's also going to be one of those things, kind of like fussing with all these facial injections and all this stuff that women do that all seem to have. It was kind of a look 10 years ago, and now everyone's just clear that it's such a dated look, and if you've had it done, you can't go back. I think the same thing is going to be true for the teeth. And, you know, unless you are some sort of, like, master who can grow another set of teeth, which there is legend out there that people who've lived, you know, over 120 and, you know, totally connected, like these Himalayan masters have regrown a new set of teeth to take them to the next century. Unless you're one of them, I mean, you basically just ruined your teeth for the rest of your life. It's just, my mom asked me once a couple years ago, like, you know, she's kind of tempted. She said, should I do it? I'm like, Mom, please don't do that. You know, you've got everything going for you. Don't do that. And I would just say that to everybody who I know and love. Just don't go there.
Well,
it'll just ruin the integrity.
Is there anything that we can do naturally? I mean, in addition to everything we've talked about, which is probably the answer, but is there anything else that we can do sort of aesthetically, if that's natural, that could create the same sort of or a similar effect, or no?
Probably. I mean, I think there are some things out there. Some of our callers might know of them. I mean, I know I love the Tate's. What's it called? The Tate's toothpaste. It's called the Tate's Miracle Whitening Toothpaste. And I don't know if it really makes a difference because my teeth are really good as it is. But my son loves, he actually finally, after getting him convinced, because he was determined that I didn't know what I was talking about and that the Crest and fluoride was really good, which was took a lot of patience. But finally, I convinced him because there was a Harvard study that proved that fluoride reduces IQ points. We know it also closes up the pineal gland. It's a horrible, horrible thing, so fluoride is a no-no. But he has taken my pure propolis toothpaste, which I used to love, and I have to go into the other bathroom if I want to use it. It's pure propolis toothpaste, and he swears that this makes his teeth whiter. And so I just tell him it does. I mean, I haven't really considered the difference. I know his teeth look much better, and he obviously thinks they're much whiter. So, but it's a wonderful toothpaste in general for quality gums and getting rid of gingivitis and plaque and bacteria and everything. So that's something. That's the name of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. And I just wanted to share something that we use in our household with the girls. So if you have little ones that don't like to brush your teeth, I don't know where I pulled this story, but somehow I came up with a story that there's amoebas in our body. And so the amoebas, they come up through our stomach and then from the food that we eat, and then they come up and they're in our mouth. And so when we brush our teeth, we send them home to their mommies. And if we don't, then they make houses in our teeth, and the houses in our teeth really hurt, and you know, they don't really belong there. So we always say that we're brushing our amoebas, which is just, it just makes it fun. And so it's always like, Madeline, we need to send our amoebas home. They need to go to their mommies. So it just, you know, just fun stories too, to just make it not drudgery for kids. I'm sure everybody can think of creative things to do that.
Let me just say one thing about tooth whitening that I just remember, because Anna Lagriffin swore by this and got my daughter Tundi, because my Tundi just like worships Anna Lagriffin. Anything Anna does, she will do, which was the combination of hydrogen peroxide and baking soda to brush with. Mm. So she would dip the toothbrush into the hydrogen peroxide to get it wet, and then dip it into the baking soda, which would stick, and then brush. And Anna's teeth are really white.
Yeah, they're kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. They're very amazing, actually. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Shannon, you are on.
Hey, hello.
Shannon.
Hello.
Hi, Shannon.
How are you?
Hi. Good to hear your voice. Yeah.
Yours too. This person, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I love the topics that have been on. You know, of course, my focus has been on fertility, and I've been so excited about learning all the really intricate details about our reproductive system, all the different hormones and, you know, progesterone, testosterone, estrogen, just really learning that. I'm going to be putting together a workshop for the ladies of our church just to a basic overview of balancing hormones, just real simple, but just information that women don't get, you know, unless we're in sixth grade and it's the sex ed class, and that's the only time they really know, right? And at least for me. So as I've been reading, you know, one of the last things that I just read was they were talking about how gum disease affects fertility. And so what you're talking about, how it's going to affect children and people in general, is also for anybody out there who's dealing with fertility stuff, is actually something that's a big motivation to take care of your teeth and your mouth and all of that, because it affects the all the fertility process. So I thought that was really incredible.
That's amazing. That's an amazing connection. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I'm so grateful to be going through this because I would not have had any, reason to research this stuff or learn about it if I hadn't been going through this process. You know, it's that whole Garth Brooks unanswered prayers thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so my one of my big questions, and I sent out an email and I put it on the site also, but my thing right now is that, you know, my husband and I are probably going to Africa. It might be the next 2.5 months. And the concern came up about me and vaccinations. He knows where I stand with it, and he's really nervous about it. He's really nervous that it's going to come down to either I get the vaccinations and we go, or I don't get them and we don't go, and it affects his career or what. So I've been doing a lot of my own research about how to be exempt when it comes to a company protocol, you know, and mm-hmm. what to do with this, because, of course, I don't want to damage my husband's career. But, of course, after all this work, I don't want to destroy my hormones and my beautiful place I've created in my body, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just trying to navigate everything I can as far as not needing to get those thoughts and having all the proof and the paperwork and the so that they just will leave me alone, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And what vaccinations do they want you to take?
I was reading, so they have like malaria, yellow fever, the other one. Malaria and yellow fever were the big ones. And so I don't know if I had to get individual papers for each one, like how each one will affect me, or if I, you know, had to get excuse from a doctor because of allergic reactions to things, or just be exempt. And then I will, of course, plan to be taking care of myself the best, but how to, of course, ensure that I'll be protecting myself completely in a country like that where that...
Remind me where you're going.
Liberia, Africa.
Mm-hmm. Right, I know you're going to Africa. I just can't remember the country. See, because malaria is usually... only uses used short term, the malaria pills, which are very powerful and very damaging. In fact, I go to Africa frequently, as you know, and I'll only go, for example, my husband really wanted to go to Zimbabwe to Victoria Falls to in their rainy season. But, we didn't go on that trip. We're going to go in the dry season, so we don't have to worry about any kind of malaria issues. But typically it's taken a short term and it has such damaging effects. I have somebody I know who actually took malaria tablets when she didn't know she was pregnant. And just, you know, to give you an idea of how damaging the malaria tablet is, the fetus, which of course was not remotely viable, not only was it not remotely viable, but it was completely deformed. So this is a very serious drug. You don't want to have to take this drug. I mean, I don't want to, you know, get too involved, but I would never take the malaria pill. Now, I think there may be other vaccinations out there that I'm not aware of now, because I think, I want to say that it was, who is it, Bill Gates is now on this whole thing with this malaria injection. So I think there's another another generation of malaria injection or malaria treatment, prevention. But I also wouldn't trust that. It's yellow fever I'm not familiar with, so I can't speak to that. But I would rather, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, and anyone who's had malaria would say you're insane. But I would rather personally run the risk of getting malaria than taking the malaria pills. But that's just me. I wouldn't say, don't do what I do, because I do kind of things kind of recklessly and differently to other people. But that's my take on it, just knowing how dangerous that drug is.
Yeah, and what would be the best steps for me to take to get, is it doctor's notes? Is it, are there other things that I'm just not aware of to that, you know, can be, okay, she doesn't have to take them?
Well, I've never heard of them being mandatory. So you're out of my league now, because I know them being voluntary.
Okay. So I think I just have to check with the company policies and find out where they stand with it then. And, I guess, combat it from there, whatever they'll accept as
I can't imagine they would care. It's not like you're endangering anyone else. It's sort of your own prerogative. I mean, you could always even just come later, I guess, as if, you know, you're just a side thought. I mean, not that you would be, but you know what I mean? I don't know why they'd be invested in your malaria drug in any way.
No, and the only reason we were both worried about it at all was because he was supposed to go to Angola, Africa, this past week, and he didn't go because they hadn't told him about the yellow fever shot he needed to take, and his boss said, if you don't take this, then they'll quarantine you. They won't let you go to the meetings or come in the country or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'll just have to find out their company.
Well, see, and there's a big difference between malaria and yellow fever. It sounds to me like yellow fever is probably contagious, whereas malaria is not contagious. I mean, it's you know, the mosquitoes can you know, give it to you, but catch malaria from your friend. If you get infected by a malaria mosquito, you know, you're done for in a way. I mean, people recover from malaria all the time. I mean, it infects so many people. And arguably, which is the argument that Bill Gates and all the, you know, supporters of the malaria vaccine will say, is that, you know, it kills, I think, thousands of people a year. It's crazy, but we're talking about weak people who have poor water supply, poor nutrition, they're impoverished, and they're infected with malaria. So it's, you know, it's a different ballgame. It's kind of, you know, kind of like polio in the sense that, you know, if your immune system is really weak and you're living in unsanitary conditions, an unsanitary environment, then that's totally different to someone who's a really strong immune system, who's raised in the Western world, who goes, you know, who's not being exposed to polio, you know, so, which is why most of us who would not get the polio vaccine would never remotely get polio. We would not have an issue with polio. You know, it's a different game. If we're healthy and sanitary, the odds of getting polio are totally not worth the risk of the vaccine. But that's just me mouthing off. That's from my research. That's what I believe to be true. I recommend everyone does their own research and weighs all the pros and cons. There's a lot of amazing information out there from both sides that's worth considering. But you know, but I can understand why they
We have one more hand raised. Do you want to take it?
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy to. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm probably talking too much here.
That's okay, Shannon. Thank you. Thank you, and best of luck with your trip. So it'll probably be amazing. Okay. Okay. Wella.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Wella.
Hi. So I just wanted to chime in really quick on the whole teeth whitening question. I actually did that when I was 14, 15, and it's not a good idea because what happened was that the chemicals actually caused my gums to recede on my teeth, and then the nerves got exposed. So I got really sensitive to anything that was hot or anything that was cold, and if anything accidentally poked the exposed nerves. So, so it's not a good idea, as you were saying, and it's not worth it. So when I went on the detox lifestyle, and then after, you know, going on it for some time, like the exposed nerves actually formed a scab over them, and it was like this brown thick scab. But eventually, after a while, like they started to the gums started to heal, the nerves started to heal, and then the scab started to fall away. So it's a really long. It seems to be like a really long process right now. But yeah, it's totally not worth it.
Wow! Thank you for sharing that. I'm so sorry that happened to you. That's terrible.
But what an awesome testimony. I mean, really,
yes.
I mean, the whole process that you went through, that's amazing.
Yes, and what you said about, like, building alkalinity and all of that, I found has really helped to reverse the damage that I caused to my teeth and my gums. So, anyways.
Awesome.
Just wanted to,
wow,
yeah,
no, that is really
topic.
Good. Yeah, you can re-strengthen your teeth. And, you know, in terms of alkalinity, I just want to say one thing about the salts, the mineral salts that people take. You know, you can use these mineral salts, the tri-salts, and these, you know, that they're recommended for alkalinizing the body to help keep your pH high, but it really conflicts with the aesthetic and that most women want to have. because you can't get that the clear muscle tone coming through, and then just a really beautiful aesthetic that you can have when you're a cleansing woman if you're doing a lot of salts. So just as we talk about alkalinization, people think, well, should I take these all these salty things? So my take on that is to if you want to do it in the best possible way for everything to work, I would leave the salts out, but upgrade the greens. So you're getting, it may mean going the extra leg to put some dandelion in your salad and getting some wild leafy greens and putting more sprouts in and more green juice and less of the acidic fun foods. But what men can get away with taking the salts, keeping their pH high with the salts, but women can't really so much in terms of the aesthetic. So just keep that in mind as you put together your own personal protocol for alkalinizing your system.
Definitely.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Hey, Natalia, one last thing. Someone wrote in some recommendations. She said she couldn't write it into the dashboard. So she said the participant, I wanted to add a comment about great dentists for natural hygiene. I contacted the Huggins Institute because Dr. Huggins is famous for being one of the first to do mercury-free fillings, and they sent me back a boatload of amazing information. If anyone is interested, check out HugginsAppliedHealing.com. Huggins, H-U-G-G-I-N-S, AppliedHealing.com. You could also find a dentist near you that practices these same methods via the Huggins site. Ooh, awesome, Sam. Thank you. That's amazing.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. Because we need to know where these good holistic dentists are. We should put them. We should actually have them in our directory, in our we should have a colon therapy directory and some alternative healing practitioners in the medical world. We got to get going on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
If anyone wants to help, anyone listening wants to help, we need help. We're all so overwhelmed over here.
Okay, awesome. Okay, well, we're out of time, and that was so informative and amazing. So, Natalia, speaking of needing help, I just want to make sure that this one gets posted like ASAP because there's so much incredible information. I'm sure people will want to listen back for all the recommendations and send it on to people that also are having these kind of questions. So... Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can get this one up and posted soon.
Okay. I'll get the team on it for sure.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining, and we look forward to speaking with you again next month. And if things come up in between now and then, feel free to email us, and we'll either make a list or we'll make sure that questions get addressed as soon as we can.
In fact, one little announcement. We won't be meeting in July because we have the Extremely Green Detox. And I'm moving apartments. It's getting a bit hectic. Want to keep everything harmonious here.
Okay.
We will reconvene in August, and we'll make sure to put this on the site too. But we'll miss you until then. But in the meantime, if you have questions, please get us your questions, and we'll do our best to answer them in any way we can. If we're not having the call, we can we'll try and get back to you personally or whatever's needed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
lots of love to you all.
Do we want to say anything about September?
Yeah, bring it on. Let's talk about September.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to drop the little seed that Natalia and I are going to be hosting a workshop, a two-day workshop in New York City in September, towards the end of the month. And it's going to be the beginning of something that we're calling, Detox the World is calling, the Avatar Series. And it's going to be all about using the are utilizing all the principles of the detox lifestyle to become a full embodiment of source energy and to really channel all of our energy into being beneficial presences on the planet and really using our gifts and talents to serve. So lots of amazing tools and practices and more, advanced information about how to keep our vibrations high and ourselves as clear of channels for divine inspiration so that we can really serve the emerging paradigm on this planet, really serve where this world is wanting to go and become instruments of that vision that is held in the mind of God, intelligence, source, love, beauty, whatever you call it. So anyways, it's going to be a two-day workshop in New York City. I'm going to come out from Hawaii. I'm so excited and would love to meet as many of you as possible. And then it will also continue with a 10-week virtual class and workshop. So as you're integrating and implementing all of these practices in your life, you'll have handheld guidance from Natalia and myself. So that's coming up in September. And before that, the July Extremely Green Detox is going to be amazing. I'm actually going to do it with you guys. I'm very excited to do it. So, so exciting things on the docket coming up.
Yeah, no, thanks for telling everyone about that, Ananda. And avatar, by the way, it's been very confused. The term avatar has been used in a lot of different ways and new technologies, but it actually means deity incarnate. So that's the original meaning of the term avatar. So we're going to keep that meaning alive as we bring it into this work. And yeah, each thing is lined up. We're lining you up with every course we're teaching, with every cleanse we're doing. It's all about one building on the next. So so we can all just grow together. It's an amazing journey. The next few steps are going to be so much fun, and they're going to be good for you, and they're going to be good for everyone. And that's how that's when we know that things are going to be life generating because we've got the unity consciousness. Unity consciousness. It might seem, when you think about, oh well, it's unity. It's not me. No. It gets back to you, and it gets back to unity. It's everyone is served. It's so awesome. So, Amanda, thank you for sharing that. And, so until next time, guys, we love you.
All
and
right.
We just want the best for you and your beautiful families.
Yep. Ditto. Love you all. Talk to you in August. Okay, aloha.
Aloha.